And welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast.
Go.
We're here, baby.
Yes, sir.
We got March Madness coming up this week.
Yes, sir.
Which is going to be so exciting. I don't know about you, but I can't stop thinking about it.
It's
coming up so soon.
That time
Selection
of year.
Selection Sunday's tomorrow as we're recording, so that'll be really good. But how are you feeling?
Oh, man, I'm doing pretty good. Cougs lost yesterday. Well, Cougs won. The Cougs won, but our Cougs lost, I guess. Different Cougs.
Well, yeah,
but
no matter what, some Cougs is going to win.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's been a fun week, though. Lots of conference tournaments going on.
UVU, then the WAC.
UVU
might win today.
The state of Utah might have three teams in, and it won't be Utah, which is a win for us. So,
oh, yeah.
Let's go. Good time to be alive. Well, we have an exciting episode for you today. Of course, we'll go over our tracker, the games we have coming up in this next week. We have four games. We'll go over our past week's games first, and then we'll talk about our upcoming games. And then Andrew's got our player of the week for this week. And then we got a little bit of Jazz news, nothing too exciting, but we'll talk about some NBA stuff. And then, as we've been doing our last couple episodes, we'll go over some players that you want to watch in March. And then we'll close out with some local sports.
Make sure to follow us on all the Spotify, YouTube, Amazon, anywhere you can find your podcast. Give us 5 stars and definitely stay tuned in during March Madness. We'll give you good coverage on that and also the Jazz as we hopefully get towards the end of the season, get that good draft pick.
And this is episode 66 of Tuned In Jazz.
Well, an interesting week to say the least.
Yes, sir.
For the Jazz.
Oh, man. We were just talking about it before. Like, I feel like it's getting real hard to stay locked in. We're trying our best here, but yeah. Holy cow, it's getting rough.
Yeah, I think, if anything, we played 4 games this week.
Yeah.
They all felt the same. Like, mm-hmm. We're trying, but we're not.
Yeah. And we're in every game, but yeah. 8-game losing streak right now.
It's almost like the other team knows, like, hey, we know you're going to try and lose, so we're going to also, like, not care as much, too. Like,
yeah.
The Celtics didn't play Jason Tatum. It seemed like the Grizzlies could have played better. I don't know.
Yeah.
But here we are. Let's start with the Sixers game. And I guess also our predictions. You're still gaining on me. Good week for a prediction.
Barely.
But I'll give myself credit. I predicted the Sixers score as a loss by 4 on the
Let's
nose.
Go.
I don't know if we've predicted any games on the nose till that.
Yeah, I don't think we have. That's hard to do.
We'll take it. We'll take
it.
It seems like it's just getting harder and harder to know what these scores are going to be because sometimes the Jazz are in it and it's a loss by 4 and sometimes it's like a big blowout.
Yeah.
I don't know. How do you feel like you've been doing predicting?
Yeah, it's tough. Ever since I got my lead, I've just kind of been a little conservative with it. Like, you know, you can pretty much keep yourself at like a decent score if you just go like middle of the road predictions. And obviously, it's not easy for you to catch up that way. So my apologies. But
oh, it's good. It's good. And I guess starting with that Sixers game, you know, Tyrese Maxey's been injured for a while, so they played without him. Sixers are not looking great. They're definitely down there in the lottery with us now.
Yeah.
Our boy Kyle Filipowski had himself a game.
Yeah, he balled.
He balled out with 25 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, mm-hmm. made his 3-pointers. I don't know about you, he's been looking like a pretty good 3-point shooter.
Yeah, he's solid.
In the last month or so, like as he's been playing more minutes. He's been showing up from 3.
Absolutely. I wouldn't expect him to take 9 threes. I think it's the most of anybody. Okeonte had 10, but still, 9 threes is...
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of his best games. I'm pretty sure last week we talked about how he got his career high.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure he matched
beat
it.
I don't know
if... Because 25 is career high again, so I don't know if that's what he got last week, but... He's just continuing to play at the top of his game.
Yeah.
Proving himself.
Yeah, honestly, I think one of the things that I love the most about this game is our rookies and Keontae. I guess he's not a rookie, but They're just showing out right now. They look like the best players on the floor of this game, for the Jazz at least. 25-7 flip. Isaiah Coler, 13-10, of course, as usual, other than the 7 turnovers. And then Keontae, 25 as well. 6 rebounds, 3 assists, right. 3 steals. So.
Not the greatest shooting percentage. He's like 35%.
Yeah, that's still some growing pains. But I think they're looking like the best players on the floor. That's what we'd want right now. So I feel like that's not what we were getting last year at this time. Like last year at this time, it was still like, oh, look, Kelly Olynyk popped off. It's a random time. Or no, not last year with Kelly Olynyk, but yeah.
Simone Fontecchio until he got traded.
Yeah, we just had all these guys that were like, why is this guy still playing? Like, get him off the floor. So we're doing it right this year, I think. So
yeah, Bryce Sensabaugh, he was underrated this week too.
Yeah.
Because he's been playing more minutes in this stretch too, as the end season's wrapping up. He had 14 points in this game, and watch out for him in the other games too. He had some good nights.
Absolutely.
And then I guess on the Sixers side, Quentin Grimes is apparently their best player.
Yeah.
Right now he had 25. Lonnie Walker had 25. If you're watching this game, you might be confused. It's actually not the G League, guys.
Yeah.
Even though you might think it's the G League, it really no big names on the Sixers at all.
Dude, what are you talking about? They got Yabusele, French.
Okay, yeah.
The French. I'm just kidding.
Andre Drummond, obviously. Like 5 years ago, would have been a big name.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's the Sixers are pretty. I don't know what they're gonna do. I feel like they have much bigger issues than they realize. Probably like the whole Embiid thing. I think Embiid's still gonna be good, but how long do you play this game with him where he's like playing but not playing?
Yeah, if you don't trade him now, will he even play again at that level? Who knows?
And it's like, I'm kind of getting the vibe that maybe the Paul George thing just didn't work out and they're going to move on probably, but that's just my opinion. But like, if I were them, I would just focus on building around Maxey and Jared. I think Jared McCain's going to be pretty good. So. Yeah.
And the thing is with Paul George, I actually think he is a really good fit.
Yeah.
But not for that price tag.
No.
Like if he was getting like half his salary, I actually would still like this move, but he's going to be taking up at least 40 to 50 million every year.
That's
for, huge.
It's
for
a big
while.
Contract.
And
you're
that's going
to pay Embiid soon too.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like you don't have infinite salary cap. You're not going to be able to sign everybody you want. It's kind of like the Suns.
Mm-hmm.
They got Bradley Beal and that kind of hurt their team. So I'm thinking the same thing might happen to them.
Yeah, I agree.
Unless maybe they do get rid of one of their big three.
Hey, we'll take Paul George here in Utah. Why not?
Yeah, he could help us tank, actually.
Paul George is a fun player to watch when he's healthy. Like, he's just very smooth. It's like fun. It's like him and Kyrie are my favorite, I think, just to, like, if I was watching
just
highlights.
Just pure highlights.
Yeah, I think they're my favorite.
And it's been hard. You can definitely see he's aging a little bit, so he's not as good as his former self.
Yeah. And then we went to Boston and played the Celtics. This one wasn't as much of a blowout as we thought, although the Jason Tatum didn't play, Al Horford didn't play. Anybody from the Jazz stand out to you in this game?
Yeah, I think this game, it was an interesting one. We kind of down most of the time, and then Sam Hauser just decided to have the best third quarter he's
like
ever played, where he hit 6 threes in a quarter or 7 threes in a quarter.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Why are we leaving him open? I guess, I don't know. And then the Jazz actually did really well in the fourth quarter. John Collins was getting points. Bryce Sensabaugh had like 17 points in the fourth quarter alone. Yeah. So he's getting a lot of good shots to go in at the end of the game. And so I completely went into this game thinking the Jazz were going to get blown out. But in that fourth quarter, we did kind of make it a little bit more close, and I liked what I saw from John and Bryce and Sabah.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think Celtics are just so deep. I mean, I'm really just hoping Danny Ainge is hoping to build something like that over here, because they're just like, they could rest Jason Tatum. I mean, even against good teams, you rest Jason Tatum and you're still starting, you know, Jaylen Brown, Derek White, Drew Holiday. That's still a solid rotation of guys.
Peyton Pritchard's been great.
Peyton Pritchard, yeah. Absolutely. They even got, you know, guys, the Baylor Shireman's out there. He's, a couple times I've seen him play this year, his rookie year, he's looked okay.
Yeah, he was a guy I was considering wanting in the second
round.
The
Jazz, yeah. Absolutely.
I'll take Filipowski over him. But at the time, I was into Baylor Shireman.
Yeah, but he's just buried deep because they're just so deep there. So, yeah, just a tough team down. I really was impressed, like you said, John Collins, 28-10, 2 assists, 2 steals. Just all around a great game, mm-hmm. honestly.
Yeah, and then moving on, headband night.
Yes.
On the road against the Grizzlies.
You might not be able to tell, but Andrew and I both have headbands on right now. I'm just kidding. We don't.
We're not like, I loved having Bowler Jack and Thurl even had headbands on. That was pretty cool.
That was funny.
And then sad. I think Colin Sexton didn't wear a headband, so he might have been the only one.
Yeah.
But it looked like a pretty good game just for morale.
I'll say Lowry. I don't think Lowry pulls it off. I think everybody else looked okay, but Lowry, I was like, really? It doesn't look like it.
You know who pulls it off pretty well?
Who's
that? KJ Martin.
Oh, yeah.
I think he looked good with a headband on.
Yeah. Even Walker Kessler, I thought, looked okay with it on. I mean, it wasn't his style usually, but...
Yeah.
One thing, though, that impressed me this game, speaking of Walker Kessler, 6 blocks. He's been... Oof. I mean, he's always a... affect shots, but just like lately, it seems like he's just really locked in on protecting the rim, and I just love it. 14 rebounds on top of that, 5 assists, nine points.
Yeah, if we were a playoff team, I think he'd have to be in defensive absolutely. Player of the year conversations. We're absolutely. Just not a good enough team.
Yeah, absolutely.
But and then John Collins followed up this last game with another good one.
Absolutely.
22-7 for him.
Yeah.
And then Colin Sexton as well, 22-7 for him. So 7 assists. Getting close to that triple-double.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Another one that's kind of, we don't give him his flowers this year because he probably doesn't deserve them. But I actually thought Cody Williams' stats are...
Really?
Okay, 5 points I know is not great. But 4 rebounds.
Six rebounds,
a steal and a block. Only took 5 shots, made 2 of them. I mean, at least if you get in the game, you can start doing some, like, getting rebounds, like, steals and blocks. I like it a little more.
Kind of affecting more than just what's on the stat sheet.
Yeah. So, we talk a lot of trash on Cody Williams this year. Probably deserved, but maybe he's looking a little better, just like an inch better, you know.
Oh, no, for sure. And I think what I've just told myself at this point with Cody Williams is... to completely shift my expectations.
Yeah.
Like, don't expect really much from him right now.
Yeah.
But see the potential and maybe wait a year or two.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Honestly, I don't even know if next year you really want to give him high expectations either, because it just seems like he's a little bit far off from where we could have him.
That's the thing about the NBA, though, I feel like, is like players make huge jumps all the time from year one to year two.
Mm-hmm.
And so you never know. I mean... at this point, he's had pretty much a whole season of NBA training, coaching, you know, dietitians, all those things. You know, you give him a whole off season to work out with the Jazz and get some more skills. Maybe he does another summer league. You never know. He could make a
maybe
jump.
Maybe drinks the same water as his brother Jalen.
Yeah, maybe.
That would help.
That's true. He does. He's in good company with this, even with his family. So, I don't know. I mean... fingers crossed that he figures it out this summer, because we need him to be what we drafted him to be. So,
yeah, and then at least this game, the Grizzlies pretty much had their whole team play, minus arguably their best player, Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yeah,
so I think he might have been hurt.
Yeah,
but Ja gave us a night. He had 28-7 assists. Desmond Bane, same, 17. They're playing pretty well. Luke Kennard had 30. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Apparently the Jazz just love to leave shooters open.
Yeah. Yeah. For
Luke Kennard and Sam Hauser just balled on us this week.
Yeah. For a team that has a lot of white guys, we sure leave those white guys open on the other side of the floor.
Yeah, we got to figure that
maybe
out.
Maybe we thought he
point.
Was on our team. I don't know. Maybe that was the problem.
Yeah. And then last game of the week was last night.
Yep.
Back at home against the Raptors.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Canada. OG Agbaji was sitting there on the bench. We wish he could have gotten the game.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty not a lot going on. I was impressed by Filipowski again. Hit 18-11, block, 2 steals. Isaiah Collier as well, 16-8-5. Somebody eventually is going to get a triple double on our team. And I thought it was going to be between Collier and George, but it looks like everybody, I don't know, maybe there's like a competition in the locker room to see who could do it first, but I don't know. Pretty close game, though. We got within six. Kind of seems like we threw it at the end a little, probably on purpose, but
yeah.
Not allowed to say that, so maybe not.
It's okay. At least we didn't have one guy kill us like the other games.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe. Scotty Barnes, Emmanuel Quickley did pretty good. Honestly, the Raptors, they're not a good team either.
No.
But the thing with them is, I wonder, they have Scotty Barnes, who's an all-star last year. This year, he's just been okay. I'm wondering for them if, like, is Scotty Barnes really the answer for them, or are they going to have to kind of start over again? Because they had the rookie of the year. They probably thought they had a big guy.
Yeah.
I don't know what that'll be now for them.
Well, and I just don't, looking at the whole picking up Brandon Ingram thing, he didn't dress for this game. Like, why? Why would you trade for this guy? Obviously, we talked about, like, teams aren't necessarily, like, pulling out all the stops for the Jazz, but it's,
and they paid him, too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
I think they did.
So it's like, why wouldn't you? Like, it's a free win. Like, the game shouldn't have been this close. If the Jazz weren't trying to lose, chance we probably could have made this game a little closer. I don't know. The Raptors just seem like they're kind of in disarray right now, to be honest.
Yeah. But anyways, I guess 4 losses in a week.
Yeah.
It put us up pretty high in the tankathon.
Yeah.
I think where we stand right now, we are kind of tied with the Wizards. Like, we have one more win than they do, but one more loss as
well. The nicest thing is, so we're technically tied for first, even though we have one more win and one more loss than Washington. I guess it evens out. But we're 2.5 games ahead of Charlotte in third place. So if you haven't heard us talk about this before, Jazz really only need to be in the top three. We don't necessarily have to be number one. Top three has equal odds for the number one pick, 14%. So I feel pretty good. 2.5 games ahead of third, 3 games ahead of fourth. So I'm not tripping too much. I feel pretty good, honestly.
Yeah, and this is pretty crazy. In the last month, Washington has won 6 games.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry, 5 games.
Yeah.
They beat Brooklyn, Charlotte, Utah. We remember that. The Raptors and the Pistons. And the Pistons were kind of on fire recently, so that's kind of crazy. They beat them. So shout out to the Wizards.
Let's go.
But that takes us to our player of the week. And there's a couple guys that I had my eye on as we were going through those box scores. But I think for this week, I got to give it to my guy, Kyle Filipowski.
Oh, yeah. I was hoping you'd do.
Yeah. I think he also kind of deserved it last week, too, absolutely, because he had a career high. So I thought if he didn't get it last week, he could definitely deserve it this week as well.
Absolutely.
He just had another career high night and then followed it up with another pretty good game.
Yeah.
And this is probably the best he's been all year.
Absolutely.
When we drafted him in the second round, we all thought he was going to be a steal of the draft, and he's proving that he is worth that value. He could have been drafted higher. I think arguably he should have been in the Rising Stars Challenge with him or Coley or one of the two. Because he's just been looking so nice. He can shoot, he can pass, do a lot of great things on the court. So shout out to Kyle Filipowski, winner of Player of the Week.
Oh, dude, I love that. I actually really like Kyle Filipowski's skill set. Is just so, like, he's just so long. Like, he plays big, but he's also handles the ball pretty good. And just, I can't even believe that we got him and Collier as late as we did in the draft. Like, it's kind of insane that those are our two best rookies, that we both were pretty much second round picks. I guess, what was it, Filipowski first? I can't remember. No, Collier first, and then Filipowski.
Filipowski's like 32 or 33.
That's right. They were like 2 or 3 picks apart or something.
Yeah.
But those guys, I'm feeling confident that they're part of the Jazz's future. I hope that they feel that way too.
Yeah, I hope so.
Good pick. Well, we have 4 games upcoming this week. Some more must-lose games, if there's such a thing. And 1 must-win, I think, to help some other draft picks. Starting with that pick, on Sunday we play at Minnesota, all of our former Utah boys over there. What are you feeling? What are you feeling about this game?
I want to fact check this, but I'm pretty sure Minnesota's been playing really well recently.
They're better, yeah.
I don't know if you've seen it, but Julius Randle's been actually buying in more to being like a defender and passer instead of just a scorer, and that's been really good for them.
Yeah, Minnesota's, at one point they were in the lottery, but now their pick's going to be 21, which is our pick, but they've won 7 straight. They're 8-2 in their last 10.
That's really good for them.
Really good, yeah.
So it's hard to pick a win with that, so I'm going to say Minnesota by 6.
Yeah. Yeah, as much as I want the Jazz to win, I'm gonna say loss by 14. I think they're locked in.
Ooh, big margin.
Yeah, and the reason I think they're gonna play Jingle and Joe, he's gonna come in and drop. He's gonna be the white guy that drops 30 on us this game. I hope.
Yeah, he'll do an inbound pass at some point.
That's right. It'll probably be a lob or something sick. So, it's gonna be a tough one.
Then we go Monday, come back home, play the Bulls.
Yes, sir.
Bulls right now, they've been middle of the pack.
Yeah.
It seems like they've been that the last couple of years. Yeah. But they are on a 4-game winning streak, so they've been doing all right. Their road record is about 50%. So
yeah.
Who do you got for that?
Yeah, I'm gonna keep going with my personal policy here that I have to pick one win each week. I think it's gonna be the win. That'd be my guess.
Okay.
We'll come back home. Not that that means anything now because nobody goes to Jazz games, but I would say the Jazz win by 6. I think it could be a close game. Why not? Go gut feeling there.
What about I like it. I'm going to go loss.
Yeah, that's fair.
Bulls win by 10. They're coming to Utah, but you know we don't want to win games, so I think we're going to drop this one.
Yeah, I could agree with
that. Just in case
we
win another game later.
Yeah, I could agree with that. And then we have a day off in between our next game on Wednesday with the Washington Wizards. It's a battle for the top, I guess, or for the bottom, rather, I guess. What do you feel about
this game? I think the Jazz are going to win this game.
Ooh, okay.
I think they...
I respect that.
Since they lost the last Wizards game on the road, I think they're going to try and split it 50-50.
Yeah, that's fair.
That being said... I could definitely see us. This might be a rough game to watch. Like,
oh, dude.
I don't know if you remember last year when the Pistons and Wizards played.
Yeah,
those
so
were
bad.
Crazy games because like no one wanted to win. So that's kind of the vibe I'm getting from this game is it's going to be a head-to-head loss fest.
I could agree. I'm gonna say it's going to be a loss. It's just, will I be watching this game? Probably not, to be honest with you. But I'm going to say Jazz lose by 8. I think it's going to be...
That's fair.
I don't know.
And then I think... I don't know if I said the margin, but I said win by 2.
Okay. Nice.
So...
Let's go.
We'll see.
I respect that.
Either way, I think it's going to be a close game. It's going to be interesting.
It probably will. Yeah. Yeah, maybe Chris Middleton will pop off or something. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right. And then we close out our week here in Salt Lake with the Celtics. Obviously, we just lost the Celtics, but what are you feeling?
This will finish out the season series against the Celtics.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely going to be a loss. The question is just by how much?
Yeah.
Because last game was actually surprisingly close.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say Celtics win by 12.
Oh, okay.
Not by too much, not too little. Kind of a pretty
nice,
solid healthy margin.
Win. Yeah, I'm gonna agree. I think last week we went a little more extreme on the Celtics one, but maybe they'll rest some more players. We're getting, at this point, we got like 15 games left. Teams like Celtics are going to start resting guys. So I'm going to say Celtics still win, but I'm going to say they win by 10, kind of in the same boat as you.
All right.
Could get ugly. Who knows? We'll see what happens.
Yeah, and I guess that means we both predict at least one win this week.
Yeah,
so we'll
you got
see.
To.
We don't know which game it'll be, but I think that's a good,
good
rule of thumb is we'll probably win about one a week.
You got to. Well, with that, we have some sad news for our viewers. The Utah Jazz are officially eliminated from the playoffs as of this week.
Dang.
We're sorry to break it to you this way, but obviously, realistically, how long do you think we've been actually eliminated from the playoffs?
Well, you
want
to know something that's even crazier?
What's that?
The Wizards are not eliminated yet.
Are you serious? Oh, the East is just so horrible, dude.
Because, they're like 14 games out of the playoffs, and so there's still a way the Wizards could make it.
Oh my gosh. That's actually insane. Oh, man. Yeah. But I guess that's what we were shooting for. So good for the Jazz, I suppose.
Yeah, and then I guess we should talk about the Jazz got fined $100,000 for resting Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah.
This came as a surprise to me. I don't
a little
don't,
bit, yeah.
But we know that Lauri's been missing, what, the last 3 weeks of games from like a back sprain or something.
Yeah.
Not a crazy injury. I guess the NBA doesn't buy that.
Yeah.
Do you buy that?
I don't buy it, although I'm just a little confused because I know that the rule had some stipulation about like all-star players. But Lowry was an all-star 2 years ago. Like, we've had two whole all-star weekends without Lowry. So I don't know. I guess he's that caliber of player, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it just says a star. I don't think it really defines it.
Oh, really?
So maybe since he was our leading scorer, he counts as a star.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. It just seems, I guess that's the rule. We want players to play. We always complain about that, but I don't know. It seems like a weird time to start harping on it, but.
Yeah, this is a quote from like the NBA policy. It says, unless a team demonstrates an approved reason for a star player not participating in a game, then it must comply with the rules set forth. The rules are that stars are available for national TV games. Don't got to worry about that.
Yeah.
Balance between home and road games for absences of star players, making sure that resting players who are healthy are still visible to fans. Finally, teams not shutting down players long-term in a way that impacts the integrity of the game. So maybe that's what they're saying, is they're just shutting him down for too long of a period, even though maybe it was at first a good reason.
Yeah, I could understand that, I guess. Yeah. The league's also investigating Philadelphia and Oklahoma City, apparently. Two teams in very different situations. I wonder who Oklahoma City... Yeah, I don't know. Theirs is probably a different situation, but I guess that maybe the league just had a meeting and decided this was the week they were going to come down on everybody. I don't know. Yeah, I think I read something. There's a $100,000 fine. I think the next one's like $250,000, and then it just keeps going up. So it makes me wonder if we're going to see Lowry play more, if the Jazz are just going to take the hit. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see from here on out.
Yep. But then I guess that takes us to another injury that came up. The John Collins injury, I guess. He sprained the ankle, which I'm also kind of questioning, but I don't know.
Yeah.
But he'll be out for a couple weeks. He played super well in two of the games this week, so... We'll see. I think an ankle sprain is valid for at least a week or two. So
yeah. Yeah.
It's fair.
We'll milk it.
And we'll definitely milk it.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw, we kind of hinted at it earlier. The Jazz had a impromptu headband night.
Yes. Apparently, that's right.
I saw something. Isaiah Collier apparently got a new haircut and decided to wear a headband. So some other guys were joking, and all of a sudden it just became a thing. It's kind of funny. I guess it's nice to see these guys like, finding ways to come together, even though they're not obviously winning. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, it reminds me of like when BYU had a headband night. Everyone wore a headband. Maybe the Jazz should have a headband night where they give away some headbands to the fans too. That would be pretty sweet.
I'll go. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't think it'd be that hard, right? Because they give away like the towels. So maybe a headband wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah. Well, I guess some NBA news. Did you see... LeBron calling out Stephen A at the game. He kind of got in his face a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of weird. I don't wonder why LeBron did that in public.
A little odd, yeah. Apparently, according to Stephen A, you never know. Stephen A likes to embellish, I think, sometimes. But according to Stephen A, LeBron wasn't happy that Stephen A was talking about Bronny. I don't know. My opinion on the whole thing is, like, I don't think LeBron's necessarily helping Bronny. Like, LeBron is the reason that Bronny got thrown into this situation, which, you know, you could argue that that's what a dad should do. But then, like, to like go after anybody that says anything negative about him, it just kind of makes it seem like even more so, like his dad's just the only reason he's there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it would almost just be better to let all the stuff roll off Bronny's back and just keep doing your thing, you know? Bronny's actually, I think, playing pretty good in the G League right now. Every time I see him in NBA, it seems like he's playing better and better.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It seems odd that LeBron would choose this time to bring it up, but
Yeah, I also think, like, just doing it in public's kind of interesting. I think he is just, like, just getting the most of his emotions. He sees Stephen A. He's like, yeah. I got to tell him that he got to stop talking about my son or whatever.
Yeah. But
yeah, definitely probably just something that's more emotion than
he's got to have his anything. Number. There's no way he doesn't
yeah,
have his number.
Yeah, they can talk another time for sure. Yeah, and honestly, if you've been watching, Brownie's been decent.
I think
at
so
least
too.
In G League, yeah. He's been getting 20-point games.
For a second-round pick, I wouldn't be mad at that
yeah,
pick.
Yeah, like he's actually been starting to play pretty decent the last half of the season. I don't know if that will necessarily translate to being good in the NBA yet.
Yeah.
But G League, he's starting to figure it out for sure.
Yeah, and that's the thing. He's only, I think he's still only 19, so it's like,
yeah,
it's hard to be mad at that type of progression. Most guys aren't
yeah,
ready
he's been
for the league.
Arguably better than Cody Williams.
I could agree with that.
Very arguably.
Well, Steph hit his 4,000th three-pointer. Do you think anybody's ever going to touch his record by the time he's done?
I don't think so, but the way the NBA is going, who knows, because we just keep shooting more threes every year.
That's true.
But I think he'll be untouchable, kind of like John Stockton.
Yeah, I think LeBron, Steph, and Stockton are all going to have records that are untouchable by the end of the... LeBron's going to get a couple thousand more points, mm-hmm. probably. And Steph's going to get... Who knows? He might get 1,000 more threes. He doesn't really look like he's slowing down, and it's insane. If you're an NBA fan, just appreciate it while we have it, because these guys are not going to play forever. So.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
That kind of turns us to... Like we've been doing the last couple weeks, we're going to give you some players in March Madness that you should watch as a Jazz fan.
Yes, sir.
And as a basketball fan, too, I would say.
Yeah.
So, in addition to that, we're also doing our own Tuned In Jazz podcast bracket group. So, we'll make sure to look at that on Instagram. We'll post the link to it, and you can join. Play against us in March Madness. See how good your bracket fares. That'll be good. Yeah. But let's get into some players that we should keep our eyes on.
Absolutely. We'll start with, you got to start with the defending champs, you know. UConn freshman, probably their best player, Liam McNeely.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little overview. He's 6'8", from Texas, small forward, 185. Something I really like about him, I think he plays pretty scrappy. Plays through contact really well. He's not like crazy athletic. He's your classic 3-and-D white guy. But something I just really took note of was how good of a shooter he was. He shoots 39% from three, which in college is pretty good. 40%'s kind of the standard there. 14.5 points a game is not bad. And honestly, one thing I love about him, Bobby Hurley, just he coaches his players to play hard. They're having kind of a down year compared to the last 2 years, but honestly, any UConn player, I think that's going to translate to the NBA pretty well, as we've seen mm-hmm. with some other guys.
Oh, yeah. And I also think, like, just being in that UConn system helps you a lot
Absolutely.
As transitioning to the NBA. You learn a lot of good plays. Dan Hurley's pretty smart when it comes to that.
Yeah.
So I think transitioning over to NBA, you'll be able to understand those systems a lot better too. So hopefully he's getting the IQ on top of like the raw talent.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. And as far as fit with the Jazz goes, I don't know. Small forward, we could always use. That's kind of a position I feel like we're trying to fill in. So he could fit pretty good.
Just keep loading up on small forwards.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd want to reach for him, but if he's available at like 21, I could see him being a solid option. So
yeah. Beast. And then moving on to my guy, I got two guys in the Big Ten. Kasperis Jakonis. I might be saying it wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's Kasperis Jakonis.
Yeah. Fighting Illini guy over there.
He's on Illinois. He's a beast. Right now, he might be ranked as the number one point guard in the draft.
I think so.
Him, Yegor, Boogie Flans, Jeremiah Furies. We've talked about some of them already.
Yeah.
But this guy, Jakonis, from Illinois, he is something special.
Mm.
And not only is he like a really good point guard, but he's a 6'5 point guard. So he's got the frame and the skill. He's a really good passer and shooter. He looks like he's like dominating college basketball with the amount of talent around him. He's just like passing it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would argue that I could see this guy going in the top eight for sure.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Maybe the first point guard in the draft.
Yeah.
But I think probably his biggest strengths are his passing and shooting. And then maybe his weakness could just be like his strength and athleticism a little bit.
Yeah.
Because he is a good finisher, but I think he could put on a little bit more muscle and be able to handle himself in the NBA a little bit more with that.
Yeah.
But that's something that a lot of NBA teams, they've got trainers, they've got people that can do that. As far as his fit with the Jazz, I think he could still have a really good fit because he's a good player.
Yeah.
Right now, I think we need more facilitators. Absolutely. Isaiah Collier's shown us this year that when we have a facilitator, it makes the game a lot better.
Absolutely.
So I think he could fit along great. It's have to be at our point guard position, though, so we'd have to slide probably Sexton, Clarkston. Somebody's got to probably be traded to replace him. So.
Yeah, I still think there's big question marks on both of our point guards on whether or not they're starting quality point guards in the NBA. I think they have potential to be. But if we find a guy who has all the skills to become that pretty quickly, I don't see anything wrong with fitting him in ahead of them. I also think, to your point, he's probably a top eight pick. I think it's just really hard for NBA people to evaluate European players because they're just so, they have such a different skill set. And I don't know. It's kind of just hard to know. I mean, and teams are excited to draft him because it's gone so well for a lot of these guys recently. So could be interesting.
Yeah, but I'll also say he's a guy you should keep your eye on as a Jazz fan.
Absolutely.
And as a basketball fan. He's going to be fun to watch in the bracket. And
oh, yeah.
Could upset some teams.
Illinois is going to be pretty good, I think. Actually, I'll stay with Illinois. One of my guys that I was planning on talking about, Will Riley. He's their shooting guard, 6'8". To be honest, I didn't know a lot about Will Riley, but I started watching some of his highlights, and he's an exciting player. 6'8
is big, too.
Yeah, for a shooting guard. He kind of plays shooting guard small forward, depending on probably the matchups, but one thing I really love, he's a great finisher. I mean, like, some of his layups at the rim were just really nice, especially, like, he's good at playing through contact, which is not always a thing you find from college guys. Another thing I really loved, his jumper is like really smooth. He's got long arms, and so he kind of has like a high release on his shot, which is something you need in today's NBA. He only averages 12 a game, but I mean, 12 a game in college is pretty solid.
Good.
That's like a 20 point a game guy in NBA. If you want to watch some potential draft picks, Illinois might be your place to watch. So,
yeah, definitely. And then I guess where do you think he'd fit with the Jazz?
I think he'd be a nicer fit, especially at shooting guard, small forward. I think the Jazz' biggest questions is at the wings. I mean, I don't know if I believe that Colin Sexton. I don't know. I love Colin Sexton. I feel bad saying it, but I just feel like that's still a question mark to me. I don't think Colin Sexton is necessarily the guy yet. So he could be a good fit.
Definitely. And then keeping at that position at small or shooting guard, I guess, we got our guy Jace Richardson from Michigan State. He's a 6'4 shooting guard freshman.
Let's go.
He's been very good.
Yeah.
Michigan State's going to be like a 2 seed in this bracket.
Low key, they might be one of my favorites in the bracket, I think.
Yeah.
They're going to be pretty good.
You know that they have one of the best coaches in the nation.
Yeah, absolutely.
In Tom Izzo. And Tom Izzo is not, he's not trying to lose this year.
No.
I think he wants to win another championship.
His teams always show up in March too. I mean,
yeah.
At least for a couple of rounds. So yeah, it could be good.
Yeah, don't sleep on this team.
Absolutely.
But Jace Richardson, he's actually the son of Jason Richardson, who played for the Warriors, won a slam dunk contest. So he's got an NBA dad. And he's also a pretty athletic guy. He can shoot the ball really well from three, at least from what we've seen so far. He's a big athlete, power dunker like his dad, but maybe not quite as big of a dunker as his dad. So more, I think you could argue that he's a little bit more calculated with his game than just power like Jason Richardson.
Yeah.
But He's been really impressive. I think he could fit on most any team. He's a good shooter. He can kind of fit along with a lot of guys. So I honestly think he could fit with the Jazz just as well as he could fit with anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Yeah, I mean, we're just in need of talent, so respect that. Well, the next guy I want to talk about, we're going big a little. I guess we haven't really talked about any big guys. Well, big guys. But Asa Newell from Georgia. SEC's been pretty crazy this year. And Asa Newell's been, I think he was their freshman of the year this year, if I remember right. Mm-hmm. He went to Montverde Academy, so he was teammates with Cooper Flagg last year. Power forward, really. Most of the mock drafts and things I'm seeing have him as the number one power forward in the draft. I guess they don't consider Cooper Flagg a power forward. I do, but anyways.
Yeah.
He's averaging 15 a game, 17 rebounds. Or, sorry, 7 rebounds. 17 would be impressive. 7 rebounds. 54% from the field. Just really long. For a power forward, he plays very modern. A lot of times he's pushing the ball up the floor. For a 6'10 guy, that's pretty good. I mean, he's no, like, Kyrie with his handles, but I think it's enough that you could, you know, play a small ball lineup with him if you wanted to push him to the five. I think he would actually be a really, really good fit with the Jazz. Kind of reminds me of John Collins just a little bit with how kind of athletic he is. Probably quite a bit better shooter. He shoots 30% from three, which isn't fantastic, but it's not, you know, he's still got to guard him. So I think he'd be a really good fit with the Jazz.
Love it. I love it. We need some. I think every NBA team needs some size.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Guy like that, you honestly see the size and you're like, I'm sold.
Yeah.
But he seems like definitely a good talent along with the size, right?
Yeah.
And then the last guy that we've got, Con Knipple from Duke. Duke's got a lot of good players that are going to all go in the draft. I think they have like 3 or 4 NBA draft pick guys.
It's insane, dude.
But Con Knipple, he's like a small forward, 6'6". He kind of plays like a point guard in some ways, though.
Yeah.
But they call him a small forward. He's from Wisconsin, the number one ranked prospect from Wisconsin.
Let's go.
He can shoot, too. He's got a legit jump shot.
Yeah, he does.
When Cooper Flagg's trying to get some space, this guy's on the corner of the wing, and he lets it fly, and he makes a lot of shots. He shoots 40% from three, which is very good for college.
Yeah.
And he shoots 90% from the free throw line.
Sheesh.
And so this guy's not one you want to leave open, Con Knipple.
Yeah.
And then he's also shown that he throws a ton of lobs to their bigs.
Yeah.
It seems like that's one of his go-to moves. And so, yeah, overall, I'd say he's definitely a guy that looks like he's got NBA upside.
Yeah.
Especially with the jump shot, the ability to kind of run a pick and roll. And I'm sure the Jazz could use him.
Yeah.
So he'd probably slide in at that small forward position, probably off the bench to start, and just be able to bring some offense for us.
Yeah. Honestly, the Duke's going to be such a tough out. They just, with how much talent they have, they're going to spread the floor so well. And then you of course you have to worry about probably the best scorer in college basketball, Cooper Flagg, if he comes back from that ankle injury. But yeah, Con Knipple, it's got some exciting. Hopefully, it seems like I've seen a lot of things having him in the lottery. So I'm not sure that the Jazz would be in any position to draft him unless he dropped. But
yeah, especially if he has a good tournament, he probably will stick in there.
That'd be hard, yeah. But some exciting things to watch. Let us know if there's anybody. Obviously, by the time you hear us next, it will be mid-March Madness. But let us know if there's anybody we're missing, anybody we should be paying attention to. We check out last week's episode. We also talked about 4 guys then. So, and we've talked about guys all throughout. So
yeah,
lots of people to look out for this tournament.
And then I guess just our BYU basketball update.
Yeah.
We've had some good games. And then yesterday we got that big loss to Houston.
Yeah.
Man, Houston's a tough out for us.
Honestly, I think the thing we can take away, though, BYU is a good team. 9 straight Big 12 games, 2 of them against Iowa State, 1 against Arizona, 1 against Kansas. We're no slouch. I don't think that this team's a first-round exit in the tournament.
No,
knock on wood. But
yeah, I think we've shown we deserve to be in the tournament. Yeah. And now it's just a question of how we perform.
Yeah. And Richie Saunders, holy crap. He is hooping right
did
now.
Did you see on social media, apparently his great-grandfather invented tater tots?
Yeah, I saw this sort of calling him Tater Tot Saunders. I was like, dang, that's pretty lit.
That's kind of cool, actually, yeah. Now, he's been so good, and he started making his free throws really well, too. And a lot of the guys on our team aren't super great with free throws all the time. No. So that... You can't say there's many players playing as good as he is going into the bracket.
Yeah, and he, I don't know if, I can't remember if we talked about this last week when it came out, but he was named most improved player in the Big 12. Also was all Big 12 first team.
Yeah.
I honestly think I know he's the reason we won that Iowa State game. He got the block at the end and then hit the three and...
Both sides of the floor, offense and defense.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering where they're going to build the Richie Saunders statue. Probably right next to the Kevin Young statue would be my guess, but kind of fun. Utah Hockey Club, 29, 26, and 11. I think we picked up a win, a loss, and a tie this week. So hockey season's got to be coming to a close as well. Speaking of hockey, though, I don't know if you've seen this, but Alex Ovechkin, I really should know more about hockey, who he plays for, but he's 9 goals away from breaking the all-time goals record from Wayne Gretzky.
That's like an unbeatable record.
Yeah, so it's pretty sick. So if you want to see history, he's probably going to break it this year is what I'm hearing. I think there's enough time left. I think all those games are on ESPN Plus, so anybody can watch them pretty much. That's pretty cool, though. I guess new to hockey, but understand how... We know who Wayne Gretzky is, which tells you how freaking big of a name he was.
Pretty crazy. I think Wayne Gretzky, from what I've seen, like there's a lot of GOAT debates for MJ and LeBron or Tom Brady and whoever. Wayne Gretzky is solidified the GOAT of hockey. And it's like not even close.
Yeah.
So I guess the fact that one of his records is getting maybe broken this year is pretty interesting. But
that's wild.
He's totally the GOAT of hockey.
Absolutely.
No doubt.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for listening to this episode of the Tuned In Jazz podcast. Watch out for March Madness. We've got some guys to keep your eye on. And also watch out for the Jazz as they kind of go into this last part of the season. Hopefully get a good pick and see some of our rookies shine. Follow us on all the podcast platforms. Give us a good rating and take care.
Peace.